This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, yeah. Very hearty good morning to you and yours, DNR 98.7 ESPN. I mean, so much going on. Yankees don't lose. Mets don't win. Knicks in action. What's so funny?
Yankees don't lose. Mets don't win.
Am I wrong?
Sounds about right.
Tell me what's wrong with
no,
the statement.
No, it's factual. It is a
it's
factual
very
statement.
Factual. It's very distressing.
It depresses me, but it's a factual. At least half of the show is in a really good mood this morning.
Now, you would think so. You would think that those guys on the other side would be in great moods, but are they in fact? I mean, are they really reveling in what the Yankees are doing right now?
Well, I think they're fast at work now. I think once Raymond gets at least half that bagel in his face, that he'll be ready and he'll be happy. And then RJ's been cutting up sound and everything else, bouncing around. But he's
RJ off off an elite show yesterday.
Elite.
You think there's stress for RJ today?
No.
Because how do you respond to greatness?
Well,
there's a lot of pressure.
Great.
Good
right,
job, me.
Someone that's great like that would respond how, you know, people that are great respond. They would follow it up with more greatness, like Caitlin Clark did last night. Hoo-wee.
Yeah.
That's how you follow it up.
Boy, I got Caitlin Clark on one TV, and I got the Mets on a TV to the left. It was like polar opposite things.
There was a lot going on last night.
It's a busy time of sports.
Two hockey games. We had that game. We had the Mets.
Yeah. Big one for the Islanders. Bad loss for the Rangers.
What a disgusting end to
that
game.
I got a little trouble last night. So we had a call with Ben's SAT prep lady.
Yep.
And
he's already crushing the SAT. He already crushed the pre-SAT, right?
Well, so he took the SAT. I don't know if he wants me telling you about it. On the SAT, first SAT, 1340.
Yeah, you told us that.
1340, I told you?
Yeah, you told us that.
I don't know.
It's a big argument. Then you found out that Raymond and you had the same score on the SAT.
But so SAT 1340, and he was very unhappy because on the PSATs, he was getting well into the 1400s. They've changed the SAT now.
Okay.
It's all digital. All digital.
Nice.
And what it does is, so for the math and the verbal, I didn't think we were going to start out here, by the way. The math and the verbal, there's two sections of each. If you do very well on the first section, you go to a very hard second section. I guess he did well enough on section one, went to a hard section two, had struggled. He said it was very hard. So,
well, if you go to the harder section, does it increase your score?
It does, but it was really hard.
Right, and but I guess, is it better to do...
Yeah, it's better to get to the harder section.
Okay.
Yes, 100%. But it's hard. And he has worked hard, and he was a little disappointed that he only got a 1340. Whether that's good or not, he wants in the 1400s, and that's where we are. So we're kind of, creating a game plan for... He's going to take another one in May, another one in June. Yes. So we're meeting with the SAT prep lady, and it's always dicey because it's a 7 o'clock meeting. So I pop on, and we're in the kitchen, only one TV.
Right.
I pop on the Rangers game. That was my game of choice. I figured the Mets, whatever, I want to see the Rangers. We're on this meeting, 18 seconds in, Pittsburgh scores.
Right.
I exclaim, oh, crap. To which it was like a, what is going on?
So that's where he gets his wonderful vocabulary from.
Yeah, right.
Dad.
Right. But I was distraught, and then the Rangers, you know, progressed to just play an awful hockey game. They did not play well.
No, I don't think it was all bad. Listen, you have one team that's scratching and clawing to try to at least make the playoffs, and you've got one team that's getting themselves ready for the playoffs.
Oh, listen,
it's a different sense of urgency.
They have played great hockey.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that the loss is overly troubling, but yeah, I don't think the Rangers
no,
played very well.
The first period was not good. I mean, Trouba knows he can't make a play like that. Like, that's just not a play you can make when it's a meaningful game.
But
problem with that game is it was meaningful for the Penguins.
Very
it wasn't
meaningful.
Overly meaningful for the Rangers.
Well, I want to get that one seed. I do.
Yeah, I would like that one seed too if I was a Rangers fan.
So, you know, say whatever you want. I want to get the one seed. Now you're 3 points ahead of Carolina with the tiebreaker, mind you. So really 3.5 points ahead of Carolina. Each team has 7 games to play. So I figure you go 5-1-1, you're good. 5-2, probably good. So, yeah, I mean, they do have a little wiggle room, but last night would have kind of put a stranglehold on that one seed.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, game like that, again, I mean, trying to get yourself up for all these games as you get towards the end of the season is not is easier said than done. It's tough to get to, I mean, when there is, there's no real desperation, it's tough to reach the level of a team that's...
I'm sure.
Especially one that's led by Sidney Crosby. It's the last thing he wants to do is miss the playoffs.
I'm sure.
So and he's going to drag his team with him.
And they're right there. Your Islanders with a... What, you're upset because you gave up the point?
No, I gave up the point. What a disgusting way to end that game.
You won it.
Gross, yeah. But you had, I mean, you also gave Philly a point.
Right, which actually
you
really
need
does
to
matter.
Philly a point.
But you won the game.
Yeah, which is fine. But the, again, it's a missed opportunity to get two while they get none. Because you couldn't get the puck out of your freaking zone.
Well, Islanders have not been a very great team this year.
Gross turnover by the Flyers.
I flipped it on, and I was like, oh, and as they made that play, I was like, well, that's bad. I was like, and there's the goal.
Awful.
Like that.
Well, the last
leads.
Person. Now, Brock Nelson is the last person on the Islanders. You want that puck on?
It
his
led right to a goal. Spot, yeah. So, but all those things, as unattractive as the Islanders win in overtime was, nothing compares to what the Mets gave. I mean, what a treat the Mets are offensively. I mean, I get it's early. I'm not freaking out. My expectations weren't great anyhow. But what? I got to watch 158 more games of this. I mean, it's almost unwatchable, Rick. It really
is. It's getting pretty close. I mean, they better watch themselves for all the things that we're just talking about. I mean, Rangers looking for the one seed. Hopefully for them and for Rangers fans, they're able to make a long playoff run. Knicks gearing up for the postseason. Yankees playing as well as they're playing. Like, they keep this up. They're going to be irrelevant fast.
Quickly.
Real fast.
I looked on StubHub last night.
Just had to be
just,
cheap.
Just to look.
Yeah.
$6.
Great.
You can get into nice. To Citi Field to watch the Mets. But listen to this. You ready for this? And Yankees win. Yankees great. Call 1-800-919-3776. You should be excited. I mean, Heel pitched really well last night. Bullpen continues to pitch lockdown
Volpe's
baseball.
He's awesome.
Away you go. And we'll get to the Yankees and do plenty of it. Nimmo's hitting .063.
Yep.
And I know it's four games, but Lindor. I mean, you couldn't score a run off the Tigers last night in 10 innings.
Well, you've had, I mean, three or four games you've scored one or fewer.
Right. And then the one game that you scored six, I know you made it close on the scoreboard, but you were getting blown out of that game.
Yeah, and on top of it, you wasted Sean Manaea.
It was terrific last night.
5 2/3 hitless.
Terrific. Terrific. But you knew in the first inning, when the first two guys get on, now you have the heart of your lineup, and you get, what did Alonso do? Alonso, I forget what he did, but then Alvarez hits into the double play, and now the inning is over.
Alonso fouled out. Yeah.
So it's bad. I mean.
Well, you had that. Then you had the sixth. Nimmo makes a great play. So the first hit of the game ends up where there's a play at the plate. Nimmo makes a good throw. Alvarez, great tag. He gets hammered as he makes the tag.
Right.
I mean, he's really been our best offensive player has been Alvarez, and he's finally hitting where he should be, and you know, behind Pete last night. Hits the double on the sixth, and then DJ Stewart, for some reason, decides he wants to swing 3-0.
Obviously, he had the green light.
Oh, clearly. I would hope so. I hope that he's just not going on his own saying, I'm going to swing it.
And you know how many, hits DJ Stewart has this year?
Zero.
As many as you.
Right.
And me and RJ and Raymond. None. And he's batting fifth. Listen, if you want to bat a guy like DJ Stewart eighth or ninth, fine. Fifth? Come on.
No, they got to put Marte back up. That's what they got to do. They got to go. First of all, those guys have to hit. Last night, you just read those.
So Nimmo, 063.
Yep.
Lindor, 063. Alonso, 267, but he was 0-for-4 last night. Alvarez has been great. 429. DJ Stewart, zero. Mm-hmm. Zero. Right, you got Bader is hitting 200. McNeil, who you count on, was a batting champion a couple years ago. Pinch hits last night, strikes out. He's hitting .083.
Yeah, he was overwhelmed at a bat too.
Oh, completely overwhelmed.
They have to move Marte back up to two. Go Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, Pete, and then Alvarez.
Right, and then JD Martinez when he winds up here, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, or behind you can put him behind Pete and then Alvarez behind JD. But you need to this lineup right now.
That's better. Listen, Beatty looks kind of overwhelmed to me right now. Made a couple good plays defensively.
The guys you just mentioned, I mean, the three guys that you're relying on, Nimmo at the top, Lindor, and Pete last night were 0-for-11.
It's bad. So, I mean, I know the expectations were probably almost non-existent, but you're 0-4. All four were home games. You got swept by Milwaukee.
You got one hit.
I mean, last night you could do
an opening
nothing.
Night.
At what point do you start to say to yourself, this season is getting away from you?
Well, I don't think you can do that yet, obviously, because it's only four games. The problem is that most Mets fans, including myself, I mean, you too, because we did our picks and neither of us had them in the playoffs, we didn't have high expectations for the season. Too many question marks with the rotation. And if this thing was going to work, it was going to be because offensively, that would have to carry you. That hasn't happened so far. Offense has been bad. Francisco Lindor's been off to a bad start. I mean, you name it. Nimmo, they have not been able to do what's necessary for this team to win baseball games. Like last night, Manaea, who I had a lot of question marks coming into the season just because, I mean,
he was great last night.
He spent most of his year in the bullpen, right? Was awesome. And you had 10 innings and you didn't take care. I mean, eighth inning, Nimmo leadoff walk. You got the heart of your lineup coming up. Lindor, Alonso strikeouts, Alvarez weak ground out. And then the 10th defensively was a freaking debacle. Like, you could have got that. I mean, you could have got a 10th 1-0. And at least now with the ghost run, you have a chance to at least tie it up.
I mean, what is Wendell doing?
Well, Wendell and then Tonkin decides he wants to try to make a play. He can't make the play.
That would have been
that's an easy double play up the middle.
If he leaves it alone, it's an easy double play. But just knowing baseball, it's hard to let that ball go by you. It's very hard.
I understand.
But make the play. It wasn't that hard of a play.
Right. Wendell doesn't make the play. Yeah, right now it's bad. Absolutely 100% it's bad. But the other thing, though, too, is that, like, we all had wrapped our minds around, okay, this was going to be kind of one of those weird year. This was going to be a weird year for Mets fans, going from, 101 wins. The way that season ended was an atrocity, right? What happened in Atlanta.
It was disgusting.
And
getting swept
happened
in Atlanta and then losing with Musgrove and his red ears was an atrocity, yes.
And then you follow that up with, last season was, the definition of disappointment. And then you kind of had to think, okay, they're going to take a step back. You got to believe, Stearns knows what he's doing. Owners bought into it. Don't like it. Didn't expect this to be the case, but you're going to live with it until this money peels off and then they go spend big in free agency. And then the owner comes up and goes, I would be disappointed if we didn't make the playoffs. And you're like, okay, well, how? Look at this team. How could you be disappointed if this team doesn't make the playoffs?
This is not a playoff team, but they have the highest payroll in baseball right now.
I know. That's the grossest part of this.
Right. That's how the mistakes that you made were so bad that you had to trade off pieces for young prospects and you still have the highest payroll in baseball.
Yeah, but see, that's what frustrates me about this whole thing, though, is that, yes, we sit here and give him credit because he pivoted and he paid all that money to get the better prospects, which most owners in baseball actually do. But now we're paying the price for it. Because you already spent that money, now this year, as fans, we're paying the price for it because
right.
You didn't put the best product on the field because you have a budget that you're trying to stick to. So you didn't go sign Jordan Montgomery. You didn't add to the rotation. You weren't going to sign JD Martinez until all of a sudden he had no value anywhere else.
Right. He had no value and he said, I'll take nothing.
Right. And I'll defer money.
Could you imagine
if
you didn't? I think there's a lot of reason to be nearly panicked, but could you imagine if you didn't have JD Martinez in the pipeline on the way? And what happens if it takes him 2 weeks to get going?
Yeah. I mean, none of it's good. Bottom line, though, is the guys that you're relying on have to be better.
But Adrian Hauser on the mound tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And so we got that going for us.
Yeah, we got that going for us.
Which is really nice.
It's not going to matter if we can't score runs anyway.
Carlos Mendoza, what is wrong with your offense?
Chasing a lot, expanding, especially early in counts, and then chasing out of the strike zone. A lot of empty at-bats, not creating much of a traffic there, So got to get better.
That doesn't instill a lot of confidence.
No, he pisses me off too. The way they handle the Rhys Hoskins thing still pisses me off.
Well, they handled it pathetically.
It's so amateurish too the way you handle it.
Yeah, exactly that.
Like, you have a perfect opportunity there. Like, you deal with the ramifications. You want to set the tone. Him and Severino, set the tone. Don't do it the way you did it. It ends up costing you a game. You get suspended a game anyway.
Right. I know. It's not you know what? To be honest with you, there's almost nothing to be excited about right now.
Right now, no. Except Manaea pitched really well.
Manaea pitched really
well.
And Alvarez
is great.
Diaz looks terrific.
And Alvarez is great.
Alvarez looks
healthy.
Marte looks a little bit better. But boy, I mean, Lindor, I like Lindor, but I know there's a lot of people that, Lindor pad stats and he's great when the games are. You could use some decent Lindor now.
Well, this is when you need him. You're trying to get off to a halfway decent start.
Yeah, I don't want to be 20 games below 500 in August and have Lindor go, 11 for 14.
He goes nuts.
I need, and now is when I need to see it. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, You have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can answer critical emails or simply unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's La Quinta, not La Quinta. Thank you.
Why didn't you tell me that before I did the read?
I thought you knew it was La Quinta.
La Quinta?
It's not La Quinta.
You sure? Like, is this just as commonly known and I'm the real distinct? Like, people listening in their cars on the way to work are like, no, you idiot, yeah, it's La Quinta.
What the hell is La Quinta?
Listen, at least you didn't say La Quinta.
Yeah. Come on.
La Quinta.
Yeah. Stayed at a few La Quintas my day.
Really? Well, that's probably how you know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, you let me run right through the whole read.
I only heard it the one time. I'm just looking through the novel of reads I have today. I just caught the last one.
So I said La Quinta, and that's not...
That's not on me. That's them.
RJ, did you know it's La Quinta?
It's La Quinta.
La Quinta?
I knew it was La Quinta, yes.
Why didn't you tell me?
I thought you knew. A genius like
this
you?
This goes to show you the kind of hotels that he stays at, though. He has no idea that...
Wyndham is very nice, the Wyndham hotels.
Listen, a genius like you knows no bounds. I thought this would have been in your treasure
trove. La Quinta.
Of things you know.
Dave will never stay at it.
This is the problem with him, though. This is the problem with him. And this is why I love him and hate him at the same time. When he says La Quinta, I look at him and I think I'm wrong.
La Quinta?
Maybe I'm wrong.
How do you say this name?
La Quinta.
La Quinta.
La Quinta.
Keen. Oh, now you have an accent?
You say it with such confidence.
Yeah, right.
I hope I don't have this read again. Oh, we do. 657. La Quinta.
No.
La Quinta.
There you go.
Write it phonetically there, please.
There you go.
Keen.
Thank you.
Like the steakhouse. Keen.
No, don't read it phonetically because then he'll say what I said before. La Quinta.
No, he's not. He wrote K.
When you book a room at La Quinta.
There you go.
Okay. Well, 657 can't come quickly enough.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe we should start doing a little pump-up music before we actually turn the mics on.
I like that. I like that. And then we come running in with an announcement.
Right. Maybe we... You know, RJ, call Chicago, see if we can use the Cubs pyrotechnics. Since it seems like they went all out for the pyro.
That looked good. Was that their home opener?
What are you doing?
That was an embarrassment, huh?
First of all, the tarp's in the shape of an L. And then you have two of the four just...
It was pathetic.
It was pathetic.
It really was pathetic. But that'd be nice. Like we're in the other room, some motivational, exciting music comes on, and you kind of come running into the studio.
I like it.
That'd be nice.
RJ, let's try that tomorrow. Raymond, let's get a good
song.
Well,
I just chose my walk-up song
I saw that.
For the video we did.
Swing wasn't bad.
No?
Swing was not bad. That was nice.
Yeah, I thought you said that Jake said it was awful. Were you kidding?
No, that's what Jake said to me, but I saw it. It wasn't that bad. I think Bootylicious would have been a good walk-up song for you.
Bootylicious would be nice for me.
I don't think you're ready for this jelly. It'd be nice.
That would be nice.
It'd be real nice.
All right, so time now for the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Bet365. I don't know what more there is to say about this Yankees team right now. I mean, the bullpen is absolutely elite. Soto is on base nonstop. It is rolling along. You're 5-0, first time to start a season 5-0 since 1992. I mean, go. I don't know how more to set you up. I mean, it's perfect. It's Shangri-La for the Yankees.
Well,
right,
you're 5-0, and let's also mention the fact that Judge hasn't got himself going yet.
At all. Volpe looks special, huh?
I said that earlier. I mean, that's one of the ones you would point to. Again, I mean, it's so hard before a season to try to decide whether or not you think a team is going to be good or not. And you can only, I mean, you do your best. Because you can't predict, like, I can't predict what Anthony Volpe is going to look like in year two. All I can go off is what I saw in year one. And I think there were a lot of people that thought to themselves, you know, are they doing this kid a disservice by keeping him up here struggling the way that he's struggling? And they saw things that we didn't see. Like, you can't, we wouldn't know that because we don't see him in the clubhouse, how he interacts with his teammates, how he shows up to the ballpark. You know, if he shows up to the ballpark and his shoulders are drooped and he's kind of got this, you know, look on his face like he's lost and he's not going to figure it out, then you send him down. Let him go dominate, and then he can, you know, come back up when he's got some confidence back. But the kid never wavered. They saw something in him.
And he did good things last year.
No, I know, but just like, when you struggle the way that he struggled at times last season, sometimes that can ruin you. Because all of a sudden now, as you chip away, I say the same thing about young quarterbacks. You start chipping away that confidence. It happened to me. It's tough to get that confidence back. It takes a while sometimes. And certain guys are just built differently. And I think Volpe's one of those guys that's just built a little bit differently, where he has this supreme confidence in himself, ends up winning a gold glove, has a good season. Batting average, you know, obviously was something that he was going to work on and be better at. And you've seen all the work that he's put in this offseason. He was one of the guys that you would point to in this lineup, saying to yourself, if he can take that next step this season offensively, this is going to be at the very least the playoff team when you add Soto, Verdugo, Judge being Judge, if he can stay healthy, all that to the mix. And he's clearly put the work in because he's having really good at-bats. He's not swinging, missing much. His two-strike approach, the one you saw even yesterday, where he kind of, it's almost like he guided it into, like, he shortened up and almost guided the ball into right center. And I was like, wow, this, and then when you see,
and he's athletic.
But that's what you see on the bases, man.
And he created a run last night.
Right, tags up. Gets the third on the bad throw, gets home on the other
Little League baseball, and the merry round, you know, goes and goes and goes. But boy, you got to just be through the roof if you're the Yankees right now. You're a Yankees. You're 5-0. It's all on the road. You're starting pitching. I mean, there's really, and I know there's
Heel's got electric stuff, dude.
Who, Heel?
Whew.
Oh, my God.
Right up to 100 like that. You can see why they like him.
Alex walks in last and goes, who's Luis Gil?
I said, did he stay at La Quinta?
Yeah. I said, that's Luis Gil. He's like, oh.
I felt bad for him, though, too, because he knew. Like, he's trying to just get me through the fist.
You felt bad. How about feeling bad for me? He's on my fantasy team.
Well, you got to know he's coming off Tommy John.
Well, give me one more out, and I get the win. No. One more out.
That was the number.
I had the worst thing happen. So I have him on my fantasy team. I actually was rooting for him to do well and rooting for the Yankees to win. They have the lead. He's one out away. They win, which I don't like, but I'm rooting for it because I have him, and then he doesn't even get the win.
What is this, RJ? What is this power rank? Top five teams we can count out already? And the Jets are on the top five?
Yes.
Well, we got to get into that.
How do you put the Panthers, Patriots, Broncos,
your boy Canty,
Tennessee, and the Jets on that list?
I don't know.
What?
Look, Carolina makes sense. Patriots, sure. Broncos, I'm uncertain about the quarterback
Tennessee
situation.
Makes sense.
Titans, I guess, right? Jets? They count the Jets out.
Already?
Well, how could you count them out? I think the Jets have a chance to be good.
Wow.
That's oof.
That's a tough list.
That's a brutal list. But can we get back to the Yankees?
Sorry.
I mean, what you just did there is like textbook.
Oh, I just saw it.
I understand that, but save it for later. Right? I mean, RJ, save it for later. See it. File it away.
I can't save it.
I know.
I get excited.
That's the problem of the show. You can't contain your excitement.
I can't. I can't give gifts like that either.
The floodgates open up and away you go.
I get
chew it and do it.
I love those reads. I give Cassie, I get her a present. I have to give it to her right away.
So what'd you do when you bought her the engagement ring?
Oof, it was a tough couple.
That must have been impossible for
tough.
You.
I had to lock it away so I wouldn't go get it. I locked it up in the safe.
That was hard for me too when I had Sherry's engagement ring.
Well, because
they
know you're acting funny.
I don't know that I was acting funny. I just went, like, she's the person I share all the stuff with. I wanted to tell her.
You can't even notice, though. It happened to my buddy. He didn't notice he was acting funny, and then he went in the bathroom and like was because that's when he was getting ready to do it, and he had the door locked, and his wife thought he was like cheating on her, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "What are you doing in there?" And he finally snapped.
They know everything. Fine, I got your ring here. Take it.
It ruined.
We'll get married. We'll get married.
Right. It ruined the whole engagement proposal.
So Yankee again, 5-0. Every night is a good night. Huge comeback wins against Houston. Bullpen's been great. Are there things that aren't perfect? Of course, Judge. But here's the thing: is it a bad thing? The Judge hasn't started hitting yet? Or is it a good thing?
No, I actually think it's a good thing.
Right. So Judge hasn't even started hitting yet, and you're still sitting here at 5-0.
Remember, too, his spring was interrupted, too, with the whole abdominal thing.
Of course. But, I mean, for Volpe to do what he's done, and, you know, last year, the bottom of the lineup was, you'd look at it and be like, oh, God. Now you look at it, it's like, wow.
What Cabrera's doing right now. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, there were so many people that were like, again, going back to an earlier conversation that I had with Grasso, just like, why is there no more juice? Why is there no juice right now? And I was just like, well, I got the Cole injury. I think all of a sudden now DJ LeMahieu dealing with the foot. I know it's a different injury, but it's his foot again. We find out it's a non-displaced fracture. And it actually turns out that it was a good thing because of how good Cabrera's been.
Cabrera's been great. And I don't know if you might not feel like this. I don't expect anything from LeMahieu. I mean, another foot issue, but I think that'll be okay. I think that you have enough to get by not having a healthy DJ LeMahieu. And if you do, then that's kind of gravy for the Yankees.
Right. Or even if Stan doesn't end up figuring it out, right? Like you feel like with the way that, Soto's at bats. I mean, if you like baseball, watching Juan Soto approaching a bat.
It's beautiful. It really is. It's a thing of beauty.
If your kid plays baseball, have him watch Juan Soto approaching a bat.
Every at bat is like 7 pitches.
It's like his eye is amazing. His pitch recognition is amazing. Like there's no intimidation at all. Like some of these at bats you see, Stanton's won a National League MVP, and he's up there guessing. He has no plan.
But these are two completely different players.
No, I know, but you're talking about a guy who won a National League MVP that takes some of the worst swings you've seen in the history of watching baseball, and then you watch Juan Soto approaching a bat, and it's like he knows exactly what he wants to do when he gets up there. He's spitting on, pitchers' best pitches.
I mean, how about the ball he hit off Hader the other day? Goes the other way. I mean, Hader is as nasty a lefty as there is in baseball.
That's a lefty-lefty matchup, too. Yeah, his presence.
He's a great hitter. And you recognize it more when you watch him every day.
Right.
Like when you see Soto come to town, he's on the Nationals or the Padres, and you see him 6 games a year, 9 games a year, you think, oh, this guy's really good. When you get to watch every game and every at-bat, I mean, my God, he's unbelievably special.
Yeah, you know what the thing, too, I like about what the Yankees are doing so far this season is it feels like they're actually, because I know we've talked about this, kind of like lose the battle to win the war, right? It seems like they've actually, and maybe it's because they know that this could be the only year of Soto that they get. It feels like they're prioritizing going out and trying to win
right.
as many of these
and
as
it also
can.
Feels like he adds a certain level of juice to this thing.
Well, how about accountability? Right? Like, I mean, it feels like he's the kind of guy. I mean, he played every game last season that if Aaron Boone tells him, hey, you're going to have a scheduled day off, he's going to be like, no, I'm not.
No. And again, I mean, I understand that the Yankees are very stringent with their analytics and guys that have to get days off. But if Juan Soto tells you I'm playing, you're going to tell him he's not?
No, or like this, I mean, I understand too, like start of a season, like this is the same way kind of in the NHL too, where you kind of want to get everyone going early. But like, I think there's something to be said in baseball, just because baseball, I was saying this to my wife last night, she said something like about a pitch, and she's like, how didn't he hit that? I'm like, what do you mean, how didn't he hit that? Like, it's 97 moving. They make it look too easy sometimes for people to understand.
Watching baseball on television. And then sitting low down and watching baseball, when you watch on television, you're like, that ball was right down the middle. How did he not swing? It is so difficult.
You're reacting to the second you see it out of his hand. Like, you're trying to pick up spin, and you're like, you think, okay, this is a pitch I can hit. And then all of a sudden, as it gets closer, like the tunneling thing, it's coming out the same
and
spot.
And it gets on you so
It's moving
quickly.
Left, it's moving right. I told you, I stood in the box, Danny Graves. I stood in the batter's box, in the bullpen for him. Nothing was straight. Nothing.
And this was not even prime of his career, Danny
Graves.
No, this
was Long Island Ducks Graves.
Right.
And he was toying with me. Everything was all over the place. But my point is that when you have like this whole, we don't believe in hot. Well, I know Aaron Boone believes in hot, right? And like, there's something to be said about, yeah, we'll take all the information, but we also know that like, I played baseball and understand that there's times when the baseball looks like a softball and we should take advantage of those times.
Right. And then keep them in the lineup when that's the situation. Jeff Passett, he's very good. He was on the K Show yesterday. He had said he thought the Yankees could not make the postseason if they don't get back Gerrit Cole this year. Did you underestimate the Yankees?
I don't jump to conclusions after four games, and I'm not going to sit here and say that my concerns about the Yankees were wrong, because they are still a team that's on the older side. They are still a team that's gotten injured, you know, a fair bit through the years, and they are still a team, most of all, that doesn't have Gerrit Cole for the next 2 months and perhaps beyond that. That being said, the way that that offense produced, and particularly the at-bats that Juan Soto took, it completely transforms this team.
It changes everything. I think it's fair. I mean, again, you're five games in now, so it's a great five games, but it's nothing as compared to what you're going to play. But you couldn't be more excited than you are right now.
No, but it's five games, and some of the things that you had questions about seem to be, like, you're getting good answers to those questions. And then on top of that, guys that aren't real question marks that you know are going to produce at a certain level haven't got going yet. Like, you know, if Aaron Judge plays, what he's like, the kind of season you're going to get from Aaron Judge. And right now, he's not even going.
Right. What do you have? Nestor on the mound tonight, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, against Gallen.
Right.
Be a tough matchup.
Yeah, but you know what?
But that's the thing, though. Like, I mean,
but you get the starters of the other team out in 4 2/3 innings anyway.
Exactly right. Like, last night was 2 2/3. So now, the first game of a series, they're in their bullpen early.
Right.
How it affects the rest of the series.
Right. And the Yankees were in their bullpen early as well, but it feels like the Yankees have just endless arms in the bullpen. This Birdie's good. Birdie the pitcher.
It's one of Brian Cashman's greatest strengths.
It boggles my mind how he's so elite with putting a bullpen together, and starting staff is a struggle for him every year. It'll never make sense to me.
I think certain people are just good at doing certain things.
Well, he's great at it.
Dude, I'm telling you, just like this is, I don't know if this is similar to just the mindset you have when you're a relief pitcher as opposed to a starting pitcher, but when I went from kind of a shared, like, split situation, or I was the backup, to all of a sudden having the pressure of knowing that you were the starter, it's different. Like, the mentality is different. Like, it's not as, I'm not going to say easy, but there's kind of like a different expectation when you, like, you're the guy.
Sure.
And maybe that's part of, I mean, and then it's New York too.
Oh, a lot of pressure, but it doesn't affect Soto.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
RJ and I just had a really nice bonding moment in the bathroom.
Oh, you guys went together?
At the urinal, yeah.
It's nice.
He's unbelievable, by the way.
Why? It's that.
No, I didn't. Oh. I didn't really glance over what he was working
with. That's
what
you meant, maybe.
No, that's not what I meant. He starts brewing his coffee, rushes to the bathroom, goes to the bathroom, on the way back, picks up coffee. I mean, he wastes no time.
No time.
Talk about streamlining the process.
Right, but he also doesn't like scalding hot coffee. Because usually what he'll leave his beautiful Yeti
open
so it there,
cools a little bit.
And then he'll go do the rest of his work, and then he comes back, and that way it's drinkable.
I got an email from Nick S. He says, Dave, Rick, RJ, and Ray, my wife is being induced tomorrow at 7 o'clock for baby number 2. My 4-year-old is hooked and frequently screams, who's the cat now? Woohoo over here. And even, who the hell are you? I'll do my best to call in if my wife is about to give birth to give some behind the scenes updates. Not sure she's going to love that, but hey, you got to be a team player. I love the show. Oh, and tell Raymond the Cowboys season will be as fruitful as his love life. Go Rangers, Rick. You suck.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Well, congratulations on the baby.
Yeah, I don't mind him saying that, though, because that's just like a Ranger.
It's a Ranger Islander thing. Yeah. It feels like the Raymond's, shot at Raymond is somewhat,
it's not nice.
Somewhat nasty. All right, so did you see this grade on ESPN.com, the Jets Eagles trade?
I did not.
They gave the Eagles an A and the Jets a C.
C, huh?
Yeah. RJ, do you realize what I'm noticing right now?
I do, and I'm proud.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Tell him what's happening.
Dave, over the last, I'd say, what, month?
Yeah. Oh, it's happening.
Has become a big peruser.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps the biggest of the look-ahead borderline meaningless email that I sent.
Yeah. So really, what we're proving right now, I read the meaningless email ahead of time. Rick did not. Because on the look-ahead, the
or
premature
did
look-ahead.
Did Rick read the look-ahead and didn't want to spoil what you were going to say?
No.
I would beg to differ, but
really,
however you want to look at it.
Well, no, then you're a genius actor. You're like the Marlon Brando of the show. How is that possible? I just said, did you see the Jets get a C, the Eagles get an A? You're like, no, I didn't see that at all. So now he's playing a game. RJ, straighten this out. What should we believe here?
So Rick is also a big peruser of content in general.
Yeah, avid.
Because he often will quote the look ahead to me before the show. So maybe he roped you in.
But don't lose the important part. I'm reading the look ahead.
Do you feel like you're getting something out of it?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting content right now.
Well, there you go.
Now, I'm confused, and I don't know if you feel the same way. How is that a C-level trade from the Jets? You get a legitimate star pass rusher who's at his best in the fourth quarter. He's the best that you have, and he's added to rotation, which is really good. How is that a C?
Because in their mind, you replaced for the Eagles, they replaced an older player in the last year of his deal with a younger player with similar production.
Yeah, I understand that.
No, that's their, I mean, that's the basis for why they got the better grade.
But a C? If you want to say Eagles get a B plus or a A minus and the Jets get a B or B
plus.
Well,
here's the thing, though. I think you had an opportunity in their minds for a player that, I mean, I gave you the pass rush win rates yesterday. Bryce Huff actually has a higher pass rush win rate than Hassan Reddick does.
Right. Reddick better in the fourth quarter than Bryce
Huff,
though. Okay,
but the thing with Bryce Huff was he's not an every down player. But, I mean, we also have Rich Samini saying that he doesn't believe that Hassan Reddick's going to reach the 67.5%
right.
snaps to kick into the second round.
Not because they'll play games with him, just because they'll need to play him to that extent. Right.
So I think the argument could be made is that you have a homegrown player that's a younger player that you've developed that is damn good that you could have signed, and rather than sign him, you let him walk and you actually traded, like this was just money.
Right.
Now you trade a third, could be a second round pick, for a 30-year-old player that's on an expiring deal.
Correct. So you're playing the short game and not the let's think 5 years down the road.
And I also think it's part of it. I mean, I think I got to imagine that after seeing what Jermaine Johnson did from year one to year two, and then, I mean, a pick that a lot of people criticized when, like, okay, defense is good. Why are we using a first-round pick on another defensive player when we have to fix the offense? They drafted Will McDonald, that they want to make sure that he has the opportunity. Like, Reddick sounds like he's going to be gone after the season.
Correct.
Now, he said he's open to anything contract-wise, but there's no commitment to him past this season. So as Will McDonald tries to figure it out, you commit to Bryce Huff. It's for the next 3 years.
Right,
to Bryce
and
Huff.
Now it becomes a duplicate player, right? Do I want Bryce Huff locked in? Will McDonald's on a rookie contract. Do I want to pay a ton of money to Bryce Huff? And then it's very duplicative, if that's a word.
Right, but people just have a hard time wrapping their head around. I mean, this is a player, again, like when you have really good players, especially ones like Bryce Huff that was undrafted, that you found, developed, and turns into a stud, why not keep him?
Yeah. I understand. But if the Jets had kept him, I wouldn't be saying it's a bad move.
No. Okay. Here's the other thing, though. You're going to have to pay Jermaine Johnson. You're going to have to pay Garrett Wilson. You're going to have to pay, like, there's other guys you're going to have to pay.
You're going to have to pay
Now, rather than commit long term to Bryce Huff, we have a 1 year deal for a guy that has the same kind of production.
That's right.
So,
who's been there before? Who's played in huge games?
Right.
Here is Hassan Reddick, happy to be part of this Jets D.
I'm happy to be around a group of guys like this, a talented roster such as this one. It's going to be fun, man. I don't think anybody's ready for what's about to happen, but it's going to be fun, and it's going to be fun to watch as well.
Boy, the Jets, they have a lot to say.
Well, I mean, he's being interviewed.
I understand.
Now, at least he didn't say we're going to be the 85 Bears.
That's good.
That was a misstep. That was a misstep.
You didn't see that one coming?
No.
No.
No, that was a misstep. No, listen, I mean, we look at the defense. I mean, starting with the defensive line, the linebackers, I mean, our corners. And now actually have a functional offense that can actually sustain drives and score touchdowns.
You would hope so.
Oof.
I mean, there's the chance when you look at this team that they could be really good.
Well, they have to be really good. Not could be, they have to be.
Well, I guess. I mean, they have to be for this regime.
No, but it's like, it would be like if you approach this Yankees season going, hey, this Yankees team could be good. No, this Yankees team has to be good. With all the questions after the season as to who's going where, if Juan Soto's coming back, like the Yankees have to be good.
I think there's more pressure on the Jets than the Yankees.
There is, but I'm saying like but it's not to the same degree as the Jets because of just, I mean, where Salah at? Well, I could also say the same thing about Boone and Cashman.
Yeah,
too.
No, I think there's pressure on Boone, but you're running out of time with the Jets. You have no time.
Right, but you're running out of time with Soto too.
Potentially.
Right, but that's why there's a sense of urgency. We're going all in. We're going to make this move.
Listen, I agree with that. I just think with the Jets, it's like you need to win. There is
you
no...
You understand what's going to happen with the Yankees, though? If, for whatever reason, they flame out, they don't win a playoff series, and then Juan Soto signs somewhere else, what's going to happen with the Yankees fans?
They'll go crazy.
They'll go crazy.
Yeah, but, I mean, you could almost argue that the regular season is... I don't know, irrelevant is a strong word, but I mean, if the Yankees win 105 games and they lose in the first round to whoever, the fans are going to freak out.
Right, but I like your chances of potentially having like the whole we brought Juan Soto in, knowing that this could be only 1 year Juan Soto, but wanted to have a head start on other teams that are going to be bidding for him so we can see how great it is to be a Yankee.
You see what the pinstripes are. See what playing with the Yankees is. We're going to win 100 and whatever games.
He hasn't even played at Yankee Stadium yet.
Right. He hasn't even experienced the home crowd or the hometown or New York City or any of that stuff. You
so
know
maybe
it's not going to be too
that,
big
like,
for him.
You know, maybe, you know, at the end of it, he realizes, I mean, if what happened, you know, what you say just happens, 105 wins doesn't ultimately end up where they want to get to. He's like, okay, we got a great team here. We just won 105 games. Could you imagine what it would be like to win a World Series as a Yankee? Or he could think, I could get more money with the Mets, and then what it would do for me to actually win a World Series as a Met?
I don't know what his plan is, but it's going to be interesting to watch this thing develop.
Dude, I'll tell you what, though. Like, both would be great. You can make the argument on both sides. I think a lot of people would say, you know, winning a championship as a Yankee because it's the Yankees, and they're the Yankees would be a huge deal. You imagine, like, you have an MVP kind of season, and carry this team through the playoffs to win a championship for the Mets?
That would be pretty remarkable.
They're probably going to get a statue.
I would think so.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be with the Mets, it's going to be it's going to be the first of 15 years. I mean, a long time. Yankees could be one and done. But I don't know. We'll see. Would you say right now it's one of those two teams? Or you think this? I mean, Dodgers can't be involved in that.
Well, the way that Ohtani has
come on,
contract
they can't be involved in that.
Look at the players on that team right now.
They're good. I watched him for a little bit last night. That is a special team.
Right.
And Kershaw's hurt.
Yeah.
That is a special team.
Glasnow, I mean, what
Betts
they did this offseason.
Betts is awesome.
Betts is awesome. I'm glad we picked him for NL MVP.
Freeman is awesome.
I would say that if you want to buy into kind of what you've heard, and who knows what's true and what's not, and the reason why we're kind of having this gap year where we're going to let the money for Scherzer and Verlander kind of get off the books here before we make our big moves. How could you not think that Soto was going to be the number one target?
It's got to be.
It's got to be.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DPietro and Rothenberg.
RJ, how often do you change towels?
Or face cloths?
At least once a week.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen, I'm not afraid to take care of some laundry.
Probably don't use big towels.
That was not nice.
I'm going to bring you in face cloths tomorrow as towels.
Full-size towels. This is swimming on me. RJ, it's a face cloth.
This is DPietro and Rothenberg.
Were you impressed with my cornholing?
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN, the big 9 o'clock hour. Stuff you missed is going to be happening in about 14-ish minutes. Our boss, John Winthrop, has now arrived in the building. Always nice to see him.
I can understand why his wife can't keep her hands off him. Look at him.
He's wonderful.
He just oozes sex.
I love him. I don't look at him like you look at him, but as a friend, I like him very much.
Oh.
As a football fan, not as much. As a friend, very much.
Yeah, I think he's lost a little with the football fandom.
He doesn't. He doesn't care about it.
Like, I'm underwhelmed with his lack of interest between the 20s.
Anybody can be a fan when it gets to the 8, right? I mean, yeah, first and goal from the 4. Of course, that moves the needle for anybody. I care about the 43.
Of course, some things are bigger than what's happening on the gridiron.
And then he says stuff like that.
I don't know how you get up from that, because I would never say something like that.
No, rest my case.
No, I my aunt's funeral. I couldn't make it. It was on a football Sunday.
No,
what?
I don't think that's something to be proud of.
Well, I'm not proud. I'm just telling you.
Were you close with your aunt?
She was lovely, yeah.
What can you do at that point, though?
Right, that's the thing.
You know?
Like, she's already gone.
Mm-hmm.
I can't save her. If it was Aunt Ann needs a kidney, get down to the hospital quickly, or like a blood transfusion, and you can help, maybe
if the phone call was, hey, Aunt...
Ann. Right.
Is close. We need you to come down.
And she's desperate to say goodbye to you?
Right. First question is probably like, does she have a TV in her room?
Well, I think the first question is, where are we in the day?
That should not be the first question.
I'm sorry.
It's 12:45.
Oh, God.
She could be gone by the 4 p.m.
She won't make it to the 4 p.m. window?
I don't know.
Can't they pump her full of meds and she can make it to that in between the 7 and 8 o'clock
games? I don't think there's such thing as pumping anyone full of meds, especially the way you just did it.
So that's the answer you get before, that's a reaction you get before the game. Imagine we're talking like it's, I don't know, 3:41.
Yeah.
Giants are driving down 4.
Here's the problem. I don't answer the phone.
So you would come to your phone after the game and be like, oh no.
Yeah, and Anna's passed. And I never got a chance to say goodbye.
You couldn't just pumped her with some medicine.
Yeah. I mean, if they really cared, they would give her some of that. Give her some of the medicine.
So where do you pivot to from there? Like, oh no, Ann has passed, and you're like, all right, can we fight up Bengals Chiefs on TV 2, please?
Well, once she's passed, there's nothing you can really do. And she was older; she was like in her late 80s.
Ann would have wanted me to watch Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes.
I don't know what you could do at that point.
Well, I think at that point you would feel so bad that you didn't get. I mean, you missed the opportunity to say goodbye to Tom at the end.
Probably so.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't feel like that would be the case with you though.
Unless I'm actually put into that position, it's hard to really truly analyze.
You may be like the real life Larry David. That might be who you are.
100%.
Because I'm just watching the new season of Curb, and he goes over to his friend's house, who's had a death in the family. So he goes over there, it's his neighbor, and he's like, I'm so sorry for your loss. And he's like, well, it's not actually my dad, it's my father. He's like, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
He's like, well, it's family. He's like, well, but it's not your dad. Is your dad alive? He's like,
right.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's great. He's like, it's like if your neighbor's dog dies. It's not your dog, it's your neighbor's dog.
Right.
So it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
The guy's like,
now you get it.
What's wrong with you?
Well, you should have heard when Sherry walked downstairs that one day. She's like, I have 103. I was like, 12:48. She's like, I have 103, and I have to go to urgent care, and I can't get there on my own. I was like, We'll go after the games.
No, she can't.
She's
wait.
Like, I need to go to urgent care. I was like, well, I don't know what to tell you.
And you made her go by herself.
I don't remember whether she went by herself or whether she didn't go. But I wasn't going to go.
That's somehow worse.
All of it's bad. Santi, all of it is bad.
No. What's bad is she wasn't feeling well. She waited all morning
long. How dare she have the lack of respect
all
to not feel well.
All morning long, I was just sitting there watching
pregame, waiting.
Yeah, but
it was probably like 100. And then it all of a sudden spikes to 103, and then she gets nervous. She wants her knight in shining armor.
I don't remember. I am hardly a knight in shining armor.
Maybe you should be.
Could you have the decency to not faint in front of me while the game is going on?
Yeah, this is why you have none of the steamy romance chapters of your life, like I just read about.
Oh, I got steamy
romance. No, you take her to the hospital? Is it urgent care?
Is that more steamy, or is that more just...
This was steamy.
You know what happens if I'm at urgent care at 1:37 on a Sunday?
Nothing.
I start to seize.
Stop it.
I'm telling
you. Well, good thing you're at the emergency care.
Yeah, they'd move her to the side and be like, we have an issue here. Stat.
What's wrong with him? Oh, he can't watch football.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
I'd be shaking.
Well, as Sherry's getting pumped with IV bags.
I need IV bags.
You lose, Sherry. House burns down.
Burns to the ground.
You don't recognize that in the moment, though.
I recognize it every moment of every day.
All your fancy TVs? All those? Useless.
Not. I'm living in a hut down by the river if I don't have her.
She goes, you have no idea how to pay YouTube TV.
I'm telling you, you put me in a hospital 147 on a Sunday, and I am a loose cannon.
Sherry goes, you're the Mets offense. That's what you become.
Yeah, I become DJ Stewart if she leaves.
Swing a 3-0. It's a little pop-up.
Great. Let's go to Tommy, Connecticut. Good morning, Tom. You're on 98.7.
How are you guys going to pick me up when I'm laughing this hard?
Well, that's what we do.
We're here to help, Tommy.
You're unbelievable. First of all, I want to get to the Yankees real quick and the Juan Soto at all. But, Ricky, what did you think about Shesterkin's cross-check on Crosby?
Listen, I...
You would have done the same.
I love that stuff, yeah. I despise the Penguins. Despise them. Almost more than
Hank
the Rangers.
Has done that.
I might hate the Penguins more than the Rangers.
I think a lot of people hate the Penguins.
I despise them. Evgeny Malkin may be the ugliest person on the planet.
Oh, my goodness.
And real quick, also calling back to the CMT, I did some tree work at Augusta National. We had to climb trees after an ice storm and paint every tree that we cut.
Yeah, there's nothing. Everything there is perfect. I guess you don't even see squirrels or anything there, right?
It's immaculate.
And have you tried one of their palmetto sandwiches?
No palmettos for me. You know that's a palm tree.
But you know you can eat palm trees. They're very high in protein.
That's why the sandwich is so cheap.
Yeah, right. High in fiber.
Okay, yeah,
yeah.
Great.
You got something on the Yankees, Tom?
Yeah, just about the Juan Soto of it all. Obviously, he was amazing at the plate, but I was just so impressed with his defense. You know, obviously, you know, he had the one throw to the plate, which was fantastic, charging on the ball. But I don't even think it was a putout. There was a play he made in the corner where I think the ball short hopped the wall, and he just barehanded it and just immediately made the throw in and stopped the runner from advancing. I was just so impressed with this guy for his first weekend as a Yank.
Well, I think that, and we appreciate the phone call, Tommy. I think that's one of the things I find most impressive is that as far as coming to a new situation, recognizing it's the Yankees, knowing what the expectations are going to be for you and the team when you get here, and also seeing how some players, really good players, struggle to find their way in New York, and for him to do it as seamlessly as he's done it.
He doesn't have that. Like no, but that's what never going to be him.
But that's what makes him so attractive. As a Mets fan, that's what made him so attractive. He is built. Like this
he's
is where
built
he's
built for anywhere.
But this is where he's at his best.
Yes. And it seems, now I know things are going well and it's early, it seems like he loves it. Like you can see him in the outfield. They win a game and he's so motivated.
He loves being the center of attention.
Well, he's going to be the center of attention here. For good or for bad, he's going to be the center of attention.
There are some people, some players that in those moments, they're at their best.
So I know we don't want to spend a ton of time discussing what happens, you know, at the end of the year and if he leaves, but what happens if he has a monster season? Yankees don't win, but they go ALCS and he's great. And they just don't make the same financial offer that another team makes and the Yankees lose him to somebody else. Fan base revolts.
Well, I think that's the biggest fear, though. If I was a Yankees fan, that would be my biggest fear. Biggest fear, if he stays true to his word and says, I want the most money. You saw what he turned down in Washington. I mean, can the Yankees get to the level that a team like the Mets are going to be willing to go to? Doesn't feel like it. No, you can't use the same excuse. If all of a sudden now the excuse is, well, we don't feel comfortable paying anyone on average more money than Aaron Judge is making, because that was the excuse with the Gerrit Cole thing, with the Yamamoto offer, right? There's like, how do we justify paying a guy that's never pitched in Major League Baseball more money than Gerrit Cole? Doesn't make sense. It's not fair to Gerrit Cole. Like, if you pull that same stuff and then he ends up on the Mets, like, that would be, I think, a big problem, especially if he continues to play the way he's playing. He wins an MVP, and then you don't want to pay him what the Mets want to pay him.
Yeah. RJ, he wins an MVP. You and I are probably having a nice meal out.
That would be great, but if he wins MVP, and all we talked about was the only thing that could hold him back is the defense. Defense looks
more than adequate right now.
Jeff Pass was on the K-Show yesterday saying, like, the bidding he expects to start around 50 mil a year.
Start at 50?
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, I have it in front of me. Pass and on the K-Show, how much per year will Soto get paid?
50.
That's what I'm thinking.
There are a couple different ways this can go. This could be an AAV play where the average annual value breaks the highest mark. You know, right now, if you look at Shohei Ohtani and you take that net present value as opposed to the value without deferrals, yes, he's going to get paid $70 million eventually for every year that he plays with the Dodgers. But the actual present value of that's about $46.8 million. You could do that, or you could go for total value and look at, you know, 500 plus. But if he can shore up his defense and can play the way that he did throw the sliding catch, I mean, clutch plays and sound defense in right field, nobody will have a thing to say about him other than how much would you like me to write onto this blank check, sir?
He's going to, I mean, if you give him 50 and Judge is getting, what, 40? You're going to go two players, $90 million before you do anything
else. Plus Gerrit Cole making 36.
Right. So now you're at $126 million for three players.
Well, and then what Stanton makes.
A lot of money.
Yeah, I don't want to have this conversation now because
I understand.
I promised you I wouldn't have this conversation.
But this is going to hang over the heads of the Yankees all season.
You have to think that this would be part of what the Mets are trying to do and why maybe Pete's not done already. Or they're not willing to go to a number that Pete wants.
I mean, Soto to Pete.
Because they need pitching.
Desperately. And then you got a lot of free agents this offseason.
Right. I've asked you this question before. If it's long-term commitment to, if you get one or the other, you want Pete or you want Soto?
It's not close.
Okay, so you're not paying both.
No.
No.
But it's like, Pete's a really good player. Soto is a all-time great player who's 25 years old.
Well, that's what makes him so attractive. That's why he's going to get the money he's going to get.
Right. So, I mean,
that's the thing you've noticed about this market now.
The games are never too big for him. He's produced on the biggest stages already.
He won a championship. Yep.
He won a championship. He's on base all the time. He's a great hitter. He's a lefty hitter. I mean, what's the downside?
Or was the defense?
It was, and it doesn't look like that's the case now.
No, it has not. Yeah, but I think the one thing that we've learned this offseason is that the whole Scott Boras asking for 9 years, $270 million for Blake Snell,
mm-hmm.
and teams are just going to roll over and give, you know, give Scott Boras what he wants isn't necessarily going to happen. But for the select few that meet certain criteria, they're going to get what they want. Right? Like, Ohtani was going to get what he wanted.
Yeah.
Yamamoto, because of his age, was going to get what he wanted. The guy hadn't thrown a pitch. And he got, I mean, he had... the offer from the Dodgers, he had the offer from the Mets, and then he had more AAV from the Yankees. Like, Juan Soto is going to get what he wants.
I said it yesterday, and we kind of joked about it. Paxton has started $50 million.
Well, I think what he means, too, is just how the contract is going to be. Like, Ohtani's not going to get to the 700 if he says, I want a straight-up 10-year, $700 million deal.
No, but if you finagle the contract,
I'll defer
you wind up
$680 million. Okay, you can get the $700
right. We'll kick it down the road.
Right, because present value for that, like Jeff just said, is closer to $47 million.
But this guy's going to get $50 million a year.
He's probably going to want to have the highest average.
So this guy's going to get a 12-year, $600 million deal.
Well, depending on what teams want to do. I think you try to, I mean, situations like that, you usually kind of pick which one you prefer. Would you want the more years or you want the higher AV?
Right.
Unless he's just one of those guys that people don't care, it's you get both.
Unless he wants two kicks at the can.
I think this is probably going to be
the big one.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, at that point, you're going to sign he'll be 26, sign a 10-year deal. What are you getting at 36? What are you going to get at 37, 38, 39? Usually those are you're making 50 at the end of it because we're paying for the first seven. Or first eight.
But how about if he gets a 5-year deal worth, I don't know.
Okay, but how much is the money going to go up at that point? He's not as attractive because now he's 31 as opposed to he's signing this at...
But 31 is still pretty attractive for a seven-year deal.
Right, but you're paying the premium now because he's only going to be 26
right,
years old.
Right. Dave, you're 100% right. If my wife came to me at 12:45 on a Sunday, if they're not feeling well all morning, not only am I not going with her, I'm taking the keys away and she can walk to the urgent care. So I wouldn't do that.
You see what you do, though.
This is your fault.
Right, this is your fault.
How?
Because you enable people to act this way.
I don't enable anything.
Yeah, you do.
Now whoever sent you that feels totally justified in their behavior.
So you think that with my actions, I'm justifying everyone else to let their inner lunacy run rampant?
They're trying to be like you.
No one can be like me.
And this is
well,
true.
Well, I mean, it's... There's only one you, but there are people that are trying to emulate you.
At what point, Raymond, because like you've known okay me for to. A long time. We've known each other for like 13 plus years. At what point did you realize, like, this is not an act and this guy is different?
It took me a few years, honestly. I kept saying to myself, there's no way he actually believes this. There's no way he functions this way. And it's crazy because even still, you find ways to surprise me. Even
how
to,
so?
To this day.
Like what?
Like, not necessarily stories like that one, but you know, the polls, like the Tara Reid thing from last hour. I don't know, like you try to play it off like you didn't know.
No,
exactly.
I forgot her name. I remember the incident.
Of course.
You remember all of that.
All of it, in the way it came out.
Yeah. Well, her bosom just popped out.
Your takes on euthanasia. We can get into all of this in 3 stars later.
That was another thing from Curb.
What?
Is that Leon's had the loose shorts on and was hanging out.
Oh, really?
And you could see it.
I haven't watched Curb in a very long time.
Oh, it's so good.
Still good?
It's still pretty good.
This is it.
This is it, yeah.
This is the last season. RJ? RJ!
Hi, Dave.
Are you ready?
I am.
Have you been listening to any of the conversation we've been having?
All of it. Every last word.
How's it going?
A lot of pants and shorts showing talk today.
Is that bad?
That happened to me in yoga once.
We've heard.
Told you that.
We've heard. Are you ready?
You're supposed to wear stuff that guards against that.
I was wearing basketball shorts.
Like underwear? Like, yeah.
I got yelled at for it. It was a mistake.
That happened on Friends. Remember that episode?
Oh, yeah. It's another good show.
Like, the mouse is out of the house.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.